So hello, everybody. This is the second podcast that I'm doing here with Igor, who is sitting, I presume, in a sunny southern Brazilian city where it's nice and bright and it's very warm and dark and cold here in northeastern France. Welcome back, Igor. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Frank. It's good to see you again as well.
Yes, literally seeing you.
It's quite sunny. It's quite sunny in Brazil, at least in Curitiba right now.
Okay, so Igor, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about your meeting with Spencer Greenberg, and we talked about that you wanted to have a chat with him to see if you could help Spencer in his various projects, and that you decided that would be the best approach. And a couple of hours after our conversation, you had a chat with him about possibly becoming part of his management team. You found a job on a job board with 80,000 hours, I think it was. So this evening or this afternoon, depending where we are, I just want to follow up and hear what happened when you met him. How was it?
It was better than I thought, actually. So I met Spencer Greenberg in I think it was Wednesday afternoon, and my expectations were just to present myself and like see what he would think, what are the possibilities and things like that. But the conversations went by very well because Spencer is a very curious guy, very curious. So he started to asking questions about me, about my life, and about marketing and business. And it was very productive because I could show him that I understand a lot of those things. We could create rapport, so we became more intimate. That's why it was way better than I thought. So the conversation was very productive for both sides, because I could share everything I know and pass by authority, show what I could do. And he uses the time to make a lot of specific questions about marketing. It was kind of funny.
Okay, well, there's a lot in there. So first of all, would you say that it is a significant step that a person like Spencer Greenberg, who probably has a fairly full diary, asks relatively spontaneously whether you would like to have a chat with him? You've never met, he hadn't heard of you before. How would you rate the fact that he just said, okay, let's have a chat via Zoom or whatever? How would you rate that?
This is a very good question. I was reflecting on that. I think initially he was just a very gentle and kind guy. But when I was thinking about that, I realized that something that like brought his attention on me is that I approached him in a sense that I wanted to help. And more than that, I was approaching him and I wanted to talk to him because it was kind of my journey, something I was willing to do and not looking for a job. And it's not common, I know, because maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I was in his position, hiring people and receiving a lot of CVs and things like that. That's what I brought his attention to me. But like after we started to exchanging mails, it's very clear that he is a very curious guy. So every time I have the chance, I try to poke him about something that probably he doesn't know. And then I know that the conversation will keep going, you know. So I have good news. I will leave it to a little bit later, but I have good news that the source of those good news is that we engaged in a very productive conversation, not only the chat in 2 weeks ago, but also through email.
Okay, so this is the teaser. You have to listen to the end of this
Yes, that's my
program.
tease. Yeah.
Find that way.
Keep engagement.
Marketing at its best. Is it fair to say that both of you, when you had struck up the first contact, you didn't actually need each other? Yes, you were looking for a new opportunity, and we don't really know what Spencer wanted to have or was looking for, if he was looking for anything, but there wasn't really any needs, at the beginning of this conversation. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, and this is always my approach. I think today I do that almost automatically. So I try to bring value, like that show someone that my availability is not full time, that I want to help, but I have to see value to kind of accept the offer as well. This is my approach. It's almost ever working, you know?
Okay, so you come out of the blue, and you say, "Hello, I'm Igor. I have done this by profile on LinkedIn, and I want to help you." What did Spencer want? Apart from satisfying his curiosity.
So my approach intentionally was to approach him and say that I had sold my company, so I think it's a very big differentiation. So it's not every day you receive an email from someone kind of successful in his entrepreneur career that wants to work to you for you. So that's one thing. And I also said that I was really studying and very curious about the mental health field. So maybe this is what made the rapport, you know, because he thought, oh, okay, this guy is a nerd like me. And when he started chatting, it was very clear. Like Spencer, he told me that he already had hired 2 marketing managers. In the end of the conversation was very funny because he was frustrated that he had hired people, and he said, okay, unfortunately I hired 2 people, but let me know if you can think some way you can help me because I'm open to it. So what I did after that, so we finished the conversation. In the next day, I sent him a 2-page Google Docs with a very in-depth analysis of his business from my perspective, and then this kicked off a lot of questions.
So that means you had actually done your homework in advance, and that you had analyzed his business to send signals, I can help you. Just a quick question in between. How long did you talk for in your initial meeting?
It was a little bit over 30 minutes.
Okay, so and after 30 minutes, 24 hours later, he had a Google Docs link in his mailbox with an analysis of your perspective about his organization. How did you find the information?
There are a lot of tools you can use today, so you can kind of gather public information about any business and any website and social media profile. That I used that to make a overview of this marketing. He has a project, it's named It's Clear Thinking, which he clearly likes a lot because in the conversation he asked about a lot of questions about this specific project. So I did a big research using those tools, marketing tools, that helped me to have an overview. And with the overview, I think that's something that already impressed a lot of people, like the level of information you can gather. together with those information, I listed a lot of actions. So I said something like, Spencer, so this is the action plan. And I listed a big checklist that he could handle for to any professional on his team that would be very useful. So before anything, I brought value. That's something I always try to do. I worked a lot in sales when I had my business and we wanted to sell. And one approach was to analyze business without reaching anyone. Before that, we analyzed a business like build a project. And I sent an email, hello, Frank, I saw your website and I thought it would be useful analysis. Here are what I found. And this is a lot, very useful to someone who received that. That's the same thing I did with Spencer.
Well, I'm still waiting for that email, Igor, but don't stop yourself.
Yeah, but it was when I had a company. Today, I don't have this obligation anymore.
Describe a little bit, I mean, because I think this is perhaps a little unusual. You said that Spencer Greenberg was curious about you and what you were offering. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so probably, and here I'm guessing because I didn't ask him this specifically question, but like I made everything to sound like I am an entrepreneur who wants to change career. He needs me more than I need him. That's something I tried to pass by during the conversation. And then I think a little bit of concern, he started to asking questions because you can imagine that a random Brazilian guy will reach you and try to work with you, not for you, but with you. You will be concerned. So he started to ask, oh, but why did you sell your company? Why do you want to work internationally? He asked if I had the American visa because maybe he thought I was just looking to some company to sponsor me and when I to live in the United States, things like that. And so his questions, I think what motivated it was a little bit of concern as well.
So you would say that, and from the little teaser that you have floated through the discussion now, you had the right approach. He seemed to be a bit surprised by this approach of yours. So it was, from his perspective, a little unusual. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, yeah. He
Okay.
told me that he was very unusual.
Before you had spoken with him, you had learned about him through his LinkedIn profile, through different channels which you had or could have access to. And so the person presented on the internet and the person that you spoke to, are they the same person? How authentic is he?
He's very authentic. It's something that surprised me a lot. I had a really good surprise in terms of when I studied him, he was usually doing a presentation or a podcast and talking about academic stuff, like very scientific approach of things. And my image of him was a more serious guy, but during our conversation, our chat, it ended up very different because he's a very communicative person. He laughed a lot. We made jokes. So it was quite different, but in a positive way about his image on the internet.
So he is a really sort of a nice person that you could probably go to a bar with, have a drink with,
Yeah.
have a nice ice cold beer, and he will just be himself and be passionate and enthusiastic about his work, yeah.
Yeah, this is my impression.
So probably also a very easygoing person to work with. But probably very on the ball in terms of management style, goals, targets. What did you learn about his management style and the way he operates?
Yeah, this is something that I'm still very curious about. There is a gap understanding about him because Although he is the CEO and he has a lot of projects, I imagine he has funds to do that. He doesn't seem like a very aggressive entrepreneur, you know? He doesn't seem like someone who wants to grow a company and be very wealthy. So that's something I'm still curious to understand how it works in his mind, because he doesn't seem someone who wants to have a huge success. But he has, in my opinion.
Maybe that's
So I don't know. Maybe he has a partner. Maybe he's not a manager who cares about that. He has a sales team that cares about that. But I still don't know the answer. I'm very curious to the next conversation with him because that's something I will ask. Where the
so
money come from?
okay, so there's the teaser number two in this process. That there seems to be
Yes.
a conversation in the planning, yeah. How big is his organization? What did you find out about that? He has all these different projects and his apps
Yeah.
that he develops, and then he hires CEOs who then takes the software and translates that into a company. Also a very unusual way of doing or running a company. So how big is this company of his, or companies, or organization, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, he told me he has 22 people in his team, but I'm not sure because you have Sparkwave, which is the main company, and Sparkwave like brings to life another companies. So I don't know if 22 people only to Sparkwave or if these people these 22 people take cares of all the projects, you know? That's something I still don't know, but like it's not unusual. Like in a technology company, it's very common you have like 18 programmers and you have two people who thinks about business and everything else just code. And maybe this is the time that he's starting to care about how to grow the business in the marketing perspective. It's a very common journey to a startup. So you program a good project, you program a lot, you go, you search for funds and investment, and then only then you start to work about the business aspect, how those projects and products will fit in the market and will scale. Maybe he's in this phase. I will have more information maybe in the next time.
Oh, teaser number three.
Number three is exactly.
So I see a certain parallel to let's name it Facebook, that Mark Zuckerberg was the kid in the
Yes.
block. Sheryl Sandberg was the adult in the game, and she brought the structure and the professionalism to the bunch of programmers that had nothing but great ideas, and she had to make sure that these ideas could be translated into money. So
Yeah.
is there a parallel between Spencer Greenberg and Facebook, not in the company, but in the way they go forward?
Yes, I think it is. It's although Spencer is not from Silicon Valley, he is from New York. It's a very Silicon Valley approach. So you program a lot, like you just create like an artist mindset. You don't care to anything else. You just program like great things. And when the investment start to come in and people see potential, then you start to think about business. Usually, like the first 3 4 years of a Silicon Valley startup is a messy beginning. Like everyone does what he thinks must be done. People don't have hierarchy, no structure, no time limit. And that's quite common. And maybe this is the approach of Spencer, but I'm not sure.
Did you find out why he never went west to Silicon Valley and that he stayed in New York? Or did that ever transpire, why he's in New York and not on the West Coast?
No, but this is a good question. I will write that to remember and ask him.
Teaser number four. Both of you went in together to have a chat, with probably no real expectations, as you saw an opportunity to help with a potentially a management role in his organization. It wasn't a job interview, and Spencer Greenberg had probably no expectations as to wonder who is this strange person writing to me from South America. That is probably the level of his expectations.
Yes.
And then you met, and it seems like the two of you got on like a house on fire. And now maybe we can start unrolling all of these little teasers that you have strategically placed throughout our conversation. So let's start with you. Were your expectations met or were they exceeded? What happened?
They were exceeded for sure. What happened, like during those 2 weeks that just passed by, we started to exchange emails, and he kept asking me technical questions. So I sent him the analysis, and he asked, "Oh, in this point here, what exactly you mean? How would you do that? What do you think we should do this first?" Was very, very specific questions. That's something I really liked and enjoyed answering. Then he stopped to answer for 4 days, something like that. And I thought, okay, that's it. Nothing else will happen, because as he told me, he hired 2 people already. Mm-hmm. But today in the morning, I received an email from him asking if I would be able to chat with him this week, because he opened up a marketing role in his team. So we're going to talk on Wednesday. And I'm very confident that will be a very good proposal. The thing is, and that's a very good thing when it happened. Now I have a very good proposal from a company here in Brazil, because mm-hmm. I went to do the training this weekend, and the COO, like the chief of operations, he invited me to talk, and he said, "Igor, I want you working here. Just send me an email saying how much you want to earn, what you want to do, but I want you in my team." So I have this proposal on my table, mm-hmm. and I am very confident as well that opportunity from Europe. I don't know which country exactly, but it's a ONG, mm-hmm. which is called Effective Thesis, which help students to choose what to write about in their thesis, like the master thesis, doctor thesis, etc. I did an interview last week with them. I think it was last Monday. And mm-hmm. they told me that I will have an answer, a proposal this week, a proposal if they want to hire me, of course. So this week, I have probably on Friday, I will have 2 very good proposals on my table. And this is amazing. Now, there is a very smart guy. It's American. He's Indian, but he lives in United States. He's an investor. I will not remember his last name, but his first name is Naval. So if you search on Google Naval Investments, probably you'll find him. He okay. says a very smart thing, which is in a negotiations, the one who have more options are the one who are with the pen in the hand, like is the one who can lead the conversation. So if I have 3 proposals, I am the one with more options, then I will have more power in the negotiation. It's amazing when it happens. It happened a lot in my life throughout my life, and it always works very well, because people in the other side see like that the tables changed. So now I had to sell myself. Now they will have to sell themselves to me, you know. That's very exciting. As a marketer, I love that.
It turns, and we'll come to this later. This is my teaser. It turns the whole job process and job seeking process completely on its head, yeah, because you operate from a completely different angle. It's safe to assume that you will get a proposal from Spencer. There is the slight problem of distance. Now you have, let's say you have the three proposals on your desk. One is in Brazil, one originates in Europe, and one is from the United States. And in our first conversation on this particular subject, we talked about remote working, but that on a very high management level, it gets a little more challenging because you people need to be close together, physically close together, so that random conversations can push programs, projects, etc. forward. Did you talk to Spencer Greenberg about remote working, or is that not a discussion point that if you choose to work for him, you will be based in the United States?
So I didn't talk with him about that, but as I researched about Sparkwave and about him, he's very open to that. I don't think it will be a concern. Like, if it show up as a concern, like if in the conversation, he mentions that about like how I pretend to work, if I want not pretend intend to work, if I want to go to United States, stay in Brazil, my approach will be very simple. Like, I'm in Brazil. I told about my situation, so I don't know where I will be next year, but I can travel. I can travel for one weekend, and I have the American visa to visit United States, so won't be a problem. Like, the proposal in Brazil that I received, it was a good proposal, but there is a requirement of me being in Brazil. Like, the best scenario, I should be in the Happy Harbor, Porto Alegre, which is the name of the city.
Yeah.
But if not, at least in Brazil, I need to be. So there is this negative side of this proposal. I don't think with Spencer will be a problem. I don't think so.
Of course, it's very difficult to look at it from Spencer Greenberg's perspective, but I think it's also safe to say that you at least met any expectations he might have had, and possibly you exceeded them. At the risk of blowing your own trumpet, why do you think that is? Were you the right person at the right time? Was there an element of luck? Or why do you think that you two sort of hit it off?
It's hard to name just one component, but I really believe that, like Spencer, he seems to be a very open guy, which helps a lot. But he's open, and he saw authority on me, you know, because, and authority, I mean, like, and the, I would say, like, the professional matters. So he saw I know what I'm talking about. And in my experience, like, people, marketers in the United States, usually they are not so aggressive as Brazilians are, like, with strategies, you know. Like, Brazilians are very smart and very flexible on everything we do. So when I did the analysis, I am sure, I am very confident that in United States, if someone would be able to do that, they would charge before doing that, or they would do a very like branding analysis in and not a business analysis. I don't know if I'm being clear about that.
Yeah, you are.
But they would talk about maybe the branding, like the colors, the communications. And I talked about, oh, so if you have if you had 50,000 visitors on your website and you monetize it and you have 1% of conversion, you have 50 sales. And if you have a product of $50, you have 5,000 of revenue. So this kind of analysis, I think it's like made his eyes bright.
Okay.
Because it was very business wise, you know. This is when I got him, I think.
The right information at the right time to the right person with a certain amount of luck, a lot of analysis. So basically, by the end of this week, so it is Monday. Today is the 7th of November. It's Monday afternoon where you are. So one could say that by the end of this week, by the 11th of November, you should have 3 proposals on your desk, and then you can sit back and choose.
Yes.
But when you make your choice, what factors will be important for you?
Like, I was doing this analysis yesterday, and the main point for me, it's the flexibility to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a choice I made, and that's I would say that's the main choice that I considered to sell my company. So it wouldn't make sense to go back to a position where I can't travel to whatever I want and live wherever I want. That's the first one. The second one, I would say, is like the possibility to learn. That's something I'm really looking forward, because like if I work to an international company who does a different thing, totally different from my field, I will learn a lot. And that's some things that I need. I needed this motivation in this phase in my life. Just the fact that I work in English and talk with native English and build strategies in English, for me, this is worth it. And I would say the third one is the financial one, but like financially, other proposals will be very good for me. So I don't think they will be, you'll be a very, a one that's way better than other one, you know?
Okay. Sort of coming now to lessons learned and advice. So, at the risk of not wanting to create a checklist and you need to tick all the boxes and then you have a recipe for success, it doesn't work that way. And we need to put certain things into context. So you sold your company. And you made a handsome profit, so you were not in any financial pressure. And I think that is a fairly important point to bring into this discussion. But you have an attitude of wanting to help somebody. You do your research. And you have, of course, you have your expertise, you have your skills, you have your knowledge and experience, and then you do your research and find companies that may not necessarily be looking for people, but may have projects. You're this job board that you just talked about, and then you very clearly send, okay, hello, this is me. You send your LinkedIn profile to this person, which is basically your entire work history, plus all the other content that you have produced. And you produce about 1 to 2 posts a week, most of them very interesting, worth looking at. And then you just have an informal chat, and then somehow you end up with three proposals, potentially three proposals, and that puts you into the bargaining position. You can pick and choose. You have your values, your criteria. For a person who is looking for a job, or for a person who is at the beginning of their career, who have just started university or maybe are about to start university, what sort of things should they have at this point of their working life? And what should they be doing as their career progresses?
Okay, so I will give three advices like that are not so obvious and can seem very controversial, but I'll give them anyway. So the first one is a huge mistake. I would say the biggest mistake you can do when you are looking for a job is to let it seem you are asking something, like you are. Sometimes people almost implore for a job. This is the hugest mistake. Like no one in the business environment want to do charity. Like they want someone who will bring value. So the first advice I have, like try to think and express which value you bring to this company. Like really think about that. So if I want to, let's say I will be a cleaner in a laboratory, let's say in a factory, I will clean the floor of a factory. Like try to think and express the value you can bring. So I can clean the floor, but I can clean the floor faster than usually people do. I can clean the floor and I am very careful. Probably I won't make any mistakes. I can clean the floor and I also can do that. So that's the first questions. Like you have to have very clearly which value you bring and express this during all the process, like in the email, in the interview, in your CV. That's the first one. The second one, I know for most of people it's very difficult because we are educated to do exactly the opposite, but you must be confident. Like you have to have a very high self-esteem. Like you have to be the professional in the room. Like again, you business, they don't want to do charity. Like so you have to start yourself as someone who is not only able to do the job, but the best one. It's difficult, but in my opinion, if you want to win in this game, that's something you have to develop in yourself. And something it's important to point is that like high self-esteem, confidence, it's not the same thing to be arrogant. It's quite different things. Like our arrogant people, person is someone who thinks everyone is less than them. Like I think I'm better than everyone and I don't listen to anyone. I already learned everything. A self-confident people is someone who see themselves in the same level, you know? So, oh, I'm talking to Spencer, but he's not better than me. I'm not better than them. We are talking the same level. That's a very important tip, in my opinion. And the third one, it's a very simple one. It's like have a process which help you to be consistent, because when I'm talking, maybe it seems easy, but like with Spencer Green for 1 hour to find his mail, for example, to the effective thesis opportunity, I sent exactly 23, like I applied for 23 roles, and I got one opportunity, which is effective thesis. The last one, which is the one in Brazil, I had like at least 1 year with relationship with the company, and everything I just told you, I did with them. So I created authority. I was very self-confident. I brought a lot of value to the company. So I think those three tips like sums up what I would give. Of course, it's not easy because some of those things you have to change your almost your DNA, because some people are educated for doing all lifelong that which you have to be always very polite. You can't let people think you are arrogant. And so we are always in the positions of like, I don't want to make any noise. I don't want to disturb. And unfortunately, in the business environment, you will have to change yourself if you want to find good opportunities.
I think what is also very interesting, if I've got this right, is that after your initial conversation with Spencer, with Spencer, and when you sort of convinced him that he should spend more time with you, all of a sudden he created a position that wasn't even on the organization chart. So somewhere he had the funds and the opportunity to say, okay, this person is important for me. I will make funds. I will create the budget. I will seek the opportunities presented to me to make sure that this is going to work. Yeah. And it may only be for 1 to 2 years, but that's already a long time in business. Yeah. But if you show value, then people will honor that by saying, okay, this guy is so important. I want him no matter what. And that seems to be his policy as well.
Yes, that in the last conversation I mentioned the analogy of the bus, do you remember, of Jim Collins? That's exactly that. I like to say that entrepreneurs are very solitary people. So when they meet someone who can aggregate value, like they will catch you, they won't let you go easily, you know, because it's very rare. That's what happened with Spencer, in my opinion. Like he said, oh, I don't know why exactly, I don't know what, but I want him with me, you know. And that's something I felt a lot during my entrepreneur life. It's quite so quite good, the sensation you have someone really good beside you, you know.
So that actually proves that money does grow on trees, doesn't it? If they, you know, if the
Yeah.
right, if you have the right seeds and enough water, then something will blossom, and then you can move forward from there. Okay,
Yeah.
so we keep our fingers crossed, Igor, that you will have by the end of this week the best proposal, and that the choice will not be too difficult for you to make. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that maybe we can run into a third conversation to see what happens post choice making, to see where which way the winds will take you, and then we can develop that theme maybe in future conversations. But at this juncture, I wish you good luck in making the choice. I hope you will feel comfortable in making the right choice, and that in future conversations you can share your story with all of us here.
Thank you. It will be a pleasure to share my future in the next or in some next episode.
In the next episode. Okay.